Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. For one final time, filling in for Mark King this week, who's out on vacation. Obviously, it's been a very fun week for the Grizzlies. Thank you for joining us, as always, here on the show. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, and you can also follow at King_producer. That is Mark's Twitter handle. You can find the podcast anywhere podcasts may be. Apple, Stitcher, wherever that is, on the podcast app on your iPhone. We thank you so much if you're a regular listener, and we appreciate your support. If you are a sponsor, please reach out to Mark, and I know that he would be happy to discuss with you how we might be able to get your product or whatever it is that you're wanting to promote on the show. Obviously, a big week that has happened. The Grizzlies, after starting off 0-5 after the All-Star break, here we are now, three straight wins. Just some historic stretches. You know, we covered a lot of that on the show. But, you know, I don't know if the Grizzlies are going to be able to continue beating teams by 39 points. But it certainly has been a nice turnaround, especially with the injuries that have occurred. Hopefully, there's been some good news regarding Jaren. Hopefully, soon we'll have him and Brandon back and really be able to continue this recent streak of good play that has helped us kind of right the ship after a pretty rough start back from the All-Star break. First segment, we're going to talk about the schedule, the March schedule, you know, what the Grizzlies have to look forward to, kind of approach the schedule and see, you know, where, you know, what outcomes would make the most sense for the Grizzlies. And after that, we're going to preview the two games over the weekend. Obviously, tonight's matchup with the against the Mavericks, and then tomorrow night against the Atlanta Hawks. So, but first, I want to focus on the schedule, obviously. So the Grizzlies, they're 3-5 after the All-Star break. Probably not in a way that many had hoped for, but that's where they are. They're 3-5. Thankfully, they have righted the ship. They're back to playing good basketball, back to playing good defense. You know, I wrote about that over at Grizzly Bear Blues a few weeks ago, how I really thought that the Grizzlies' path to, you know, being in the playoffs would be if they played good defense. And their team cohesion, their team defense over the past three games has just been phenomenal, especially without being able to feature Jaren Jackson Jr. or Brandon Clark. They really have stepped up to the plate and delivered, you know, quite well. However, you know, schedule's about to get a little bit tougher, yet the Grizzlies still have their opportunities to win. So looking at it, obviously tonight the Grizzlies will be in Dallas. Now, are the odds in their favor? Probably not. The best player on the court, arguably the two best players on the court, are going to be playing for the Dallas Mavericks. I understand if you take Ja over Kristaps, I know I would. But the thing that I'm getting at with this is that, you know, it's not necessarily looking at each individual games, but working the schedule to where during different stretches you come out okay or favorable. So, for instance, the Grizzlies will be playing in Dallas, but then they'll have the Hawks and the Magic that they'll be playing Saturday and Tuesday night. Now, the Hawks, it seems like it should be an easy matchup, but I have a feeling it's not going to be. It's the back end of a back-to-back. The Grizzlies will have played a division foe, so you know it's going to be a tough game in Dallas, especially with the Hawks seeking revenge. And we know that the Hawks aren't going to be down for long. They can sit here and score 140, you know, almost as easy as any other team in the NBA. The thing is that I think the Hawks game could be a trap game, but the Grizzlies do have the Magic as well. There's two games in the schedule in which the Grizzlies likely will be favored. But at the end of this three-game stretch, where they play the Mavericks on the road, the Hawks at home, and the Magic at home, in my opinion, the Grizzlies' goal should be to go 2-1. Don't care at how it happens, just go 2-1. If you go 3-0, phenomenal. If you go 1-2, it's not the end of the world. But if the Grizzlies can go 2-1, at least, I really think that sets themselves up for the really tough part of the schedule that comes up after that. So my focus will be with the Mavericks and the Hawks and the Magic going 2-1 somehow, shape, or form, you know, and keeping players fresh, obviously. Then the Grizzlies start, basically, in my opinion, a two-week stretch that is really going to determine the season. You know, we wrote over at Grizzly Bear Blues a post-All-Star game roundtable in which we discussed what we felt would be the most important stretch of the rest of the Grizzlies schedule, the most important week of games in the rest of the Grizzlies schedule. And I looked at the week of March 21st through March 28th. Of course, that was when, you know, the Pelicans were a bit closer. They've fallen off a little bit, but, you know, I'll get to why I think that's still a very important week, obviously. But it seems like that the week that's even more important now is the week of the 12th through the 19th, which obviously will be next week. After the Grizzlies play the Magic next Thursday, they will be playing at Portland. Then they'll be playing at Utah. They'll be on the road against the Spurs before they welcome the Thunder. That is going to be a very, very tough stretch, but one in which the Grizzlies really need to be able to be on their best game. Now, the thing about it is that when you look at the Trailblazers, Spurs, Kings, and Pelicans, you have to think to yourself, okay, what's left on the schedule? Like, how many direct chances do the Grizzlies have against those teams to really be able to make a difference, to really make an impact, or for those teams to have a chance to have a two-game swing? That's the whole thing about these games. Any game against the Kings, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, and the Pelicans, it's a two-game swing in the standings. That's why the Kings were able to get back into the race. Them beating the Grizzlies twice in the five games after the All-Star break, that was exactly what was needed. They took advantage of those direct contests, and so obviously they're in the playoff picture again. But starting with the Trailblazers on the 12th of March, and then looking at, you know, a week from Saturday, they'll be playing in Utah. Then on the March 16th, they'll be playing at San Antonio. That three-game stretch right there, if the Grizzlies can simply go, in my opinion, 1-2, at least go 1-2 with one of your wins being against the Trailblazers or the Spurs. Now, you'd love for them to go 2-1. That's going to be a hard task to ask, I think, if we don't have Jaren or Brandon back. Now, there's, you know, Jaren may come back as early as Tuesday against the Magic, obviously. But if the Grizzlies can find some way to at least win one game against the Trailblazers and the Spurs, I really think that'll make a big difference. Then, after that, they've got the Thunder. They're at the Bucks. They've got the, and then they've got back-to-back games against the Pelicans. So between March 17th and March 24th, the Grizzlies have four games, including two games against the Pelicans. That right there is going to be another tough stretch. The Grizzlies are going to be playing two playoff teams in the Thunder and the Bucks, obviously, and the Pelicans, who have the talent to be a playoff team, in my opinion. So that stretch in which they'll play eight games in a, let's see here. Yes, they'll be playing eight games in a 14-day stretch, starting with the Trailblazers and ending with the Celtics. And then the Grizzlies obviously beyond the Celtics on the March 28th. They've got the Raptors, who they'll be welcoming into town. So legitimately, and then they'll play the Raptors again to end out March. So if you recall back in November when the Grizzlies had like seven straight games against legitimate playoff contenders, that's the stretch that they're running into right now. Beyond the Magic on March 10th, the Grizzlies do not have another game against an opponent that clearly is not a playoff contender until they play the Knicks on April 1st. So it's going to be a tough stretch. I don't know if the Grizzlies can go 500. My hope would be out of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, if the Grizzlies could go at least 4-6, in their last 10 games of March, after they go 2-1 or better over these next three games. So if if the Grizzlies can go 6-7 for the rest of March, I really think that they will find success. And especially if they can at least split or do better when they play the Trailblazers, the Spurs, and the Pelicans, I think that should be the goal. So overall, for the rest of March, after looking at the schedule, I think that a target goal for the Grizzlies would be to go 6-7. And at least 2-2 in the four games that they have between the Trailblazers, the Spurs, and the two games against the Pelicans. Because after that, there's no more direct opportunities except for the Trailblazers. So the Grizzlies better make it count in their games against the Spurs and the Pelicans to make sure that our opposition doesn't have a chance to directly get back in the race as well. So it's going to be a very hard month. It's going to be a very entertaining month. Obviously, last March, the Grizzlies really stood out because of how offensively sound they were, one of the best offensive months in history. Now, obviously, the Grizzlies have been setting records with their offense, towards the top of the league on a consistent basis back in January, now starting to round into form a little bit. But again, it's going to be their defense. If the Grizzlies can play good, sound defense, I really think that it will allow for them to steal a few upsets and have a good shot at being 6-7 by the end of March. So just wanted to kind of cover the schedule with you. Obviously, though, the most important game is the one that's right in front of you. And when we come back, we will focus on that game, tonight's matchup versus Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, Sean Coleman here with you. Just wanted to, say in the first segment, so we discussed when, it comes to the Grizzlies, the rest of their schedule, really focusing on, taking it one game at a time and doing what they can to focus on good defense. Again, I really think that if the Grizzlies can continue to play reasonable defense, don't think they're going to sit here and keep holding people under 90, even 100 points, but if they can play, good solid defense, obviously it's going to keep them in any game. But they're going to have to really focus on the efforts that they've put forward regarding the three-point line tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, the Mavericks have been one of the clear surprises, with the evolution of Luka Doncic and just, a roster that, while it does have, obviously, a true superstar in Doncic, and it's got a nice second piece in Kristaps Porzingis, it doesn't really have, just as much of the name quality depth that a lot of other teams have. But it does have Rick Carlisle, and it's a very good team when it comes to setting up opportunities to score, especially beyond the three-point line. The Mavericks are second in the NBA in both attempts and three-pointers per game. They know how to find the open man, they set up plays well, and they just really do a good job of finding open threes on a consistent basis, and it makes them hard to beat, especially if you get behind early. The Grizzlies, had on this, they got a first-hand experience with this, back on November 9th when the Mavs were in town. They won the game 138 to 122, and actually, the Grizzlies started the first quarter ahead, but then after that, the Mavericks scored 37 in the second, 36 in the third, 34th in the fourth, and the Grizzlies just had no answer. That night, the Mavericks were 18 of 42 from three-point land, and it wasn't the starters that necessarily caused the biggest issue. It was the bench play. Justin Jackson in that game was 4 of 7 for 3, scored 17 points. Tim Hardaway Jr., he was 7 of 14 from 3. He scored 5 of 9 from 3. He scored 20 points. Basically, the Grizzlies, they allowed 9 threes to the Mavericks bench, and that's just hard to beat, obviously, on any given night. 4 Mavericks reserves that night scored in double digits. So that's the big thing, obviously. Now, the big difference between then and now when the Grizzlies were 2-7 is that, obviously our bench has become much stronger. Well, the same things that have helped us have the recent streak of success against the Hawks and the Lakers and the Nets, it's going to have to remain the focus. And that is good, solid production from our bench and a focus on the perimeter when it comes to our defense. But the other thing about it for the Mavericks is that they're no slouch when it comes to rebounding either. This team is very similar to the Nets in that they will shoot a lot of threes, but they're also no slouches when it comes to getting rebounds. So while the Grizzlies do need to focus on the perimeter, they've got to be able also to make sure that they focus on getting rebounds and preventing second chance opportunities. So where can the Mavericks potentially be beat? Well, they can be beat inside. One of the things that definitely the Grizzlies could have success with is points in the paint because the Mavericks on the season, they are in the bottom third of the league in terms of 2 points allowed per game. They only allow for 51% of their two-pointers against them to be made, so that's good for 12th in the league. But if the Grizzlies can find opportunities in the paint, which we know they like to do, that really could open up some opportunities. However, I think a third facet of the Grizzlies' focus in the paint really could come into play. Obviously, we know that Jonas, and when they get the ball down low, they love the ability to, on the fast break and, when they're in half-court offense, get close to the rim for good solid shots. But if Ja or Tyus or De'Anthony Melton or Kyle Anderson get in the lane, I do think that one thing that the Grizzlies could find success on is passing back out to the three-point line to find someone who's open for a three. Now, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a good look. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be someone, who is decent at shooting threes will be shooting it. But I do think that the Grizzlies need to keep all options on the table when they get into the lane. But they definitely do not need to abandon the dominance that they show when they get in the lane to get to stay consistent with the Mavericks. So again, defending the perimeter is going to be key. focusing on rebounds. I think also, you know, on offense, focusing on the paint, getting opportunities down low. Jonas Valanciunas is going to need to have another game. Now, not necessarily, you know, a game where he gets 15 to 20 rebounds, but if he can get 20 to 25 points, I really think that that's going to be a big, big boost for the Grizzlies. Now, as far as the Mavericks go, you know, again, focusing on the threes and things such as that, you're just going to have to accept Luka is going to get his. He's not averaging nearly a triple-double for no reason. You know, he gets his every single time he's out there on the court, and that's fine. But a couple of things that the Grizzlies can do are that they can focus on the supporting cast and try to make them as inefficient as possible. Make them shoot a lot of contested shots or off-balance shots, force a few turnovers on defense. That can really help out. On offense, the Grizzlies, if they can have their movement in check, if they can effectively not only move the ball, but also if the offensive players off the ball can move away from it, that's going to set up a lot of motion. It's going to set up a lot of opportunity that could tire the Mavericks out, obviously. But in the end, like I mentioned in the first segment, two of these three need to be won. This obviously is the Grizzlies' smallest chance to win, but I do think that they have a very good chance if they could do those things. Play defense, contest shots on the perimeter, and on offense really make the ball move around and see what they can get done. So at the end of the day, I do feel like that the Mavericks will probably pull off a victory here just because they're focused on continuing to improve their positioning. I think Luka does have a good game, but I think the Grizzlies keep it close, and they could keep it close enough to earn the victory if they find enough stops on defense and also enough fast break opportunities on offense to, you know, take advantage, obviously, of the strengths of their roster. When we come back, we're going after the Mavericks game on Friday night. The Grizzlies obviously welcome the Hawks to Atlanta, you know, for their second matchup against the Hawks in just a week's time frame. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. Very happy to join you in what will be the final segment of the week when Mark King will be back with you next week. But the first segment, we talked about the rest of the March schedule. The second segment, we talked about the Grizzlies game tonight against the Mavericks. And now we want to discuss a little bit about the Grizzlies' upcoming game, you know, against the Hawks tomorrow night, which will be Saturday. Obviously, you know, the big thing about it is that, you know, you would think this would be a pretty easy discussion because obviously our Monday of this week, the Grizzlies coming off two road wins in which they beat their opponents by 39 apiece. The Hawks were the first game in that stretch. The Grizzlies won 127-88. The thing about it is this, is that the Grizzlies clearly were the better team. They had more depth. They played better defense. They were able to just at will find success whenever they wanted to during that game. But the thing about it is that despite that win, despite the Nets win, you know, despite what happens tonight against the Mavericks, which I think, you know, the road's going to be a little bit tougher to navigate against the Mavericks, to me, this has the makings of a trap game when it comes to the Hawks. And it's not necessarily because I think that the Grizzlies are going to overlook the Hawks to the point that they're likely to lose. I just think that it's one of those games where on Monday night, you had everything, you know, go in the negative direction for the Hawks and positive direction for the Grizzlies. I'm not saying that the Hawks are on the level of the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies are a better team. I just think that tomorrow night, we're probably not going to see as many negative things occur in the, you know, for the Hawks that happens in the Grizzlies' favor. For instance, the Grizzlies held Trae Young to zero threes on Monday night. Trae Young has only been held to zero three-pointers made in the game three times this year in over 50 games played. So, you know, we did a phenomenal job on Monday against the Hawks, really establishing our preference, really establishing what we wanted to do to win the game. And while I think the Grizzlies can again do that on Saturday night, they're going to have to make sure that they stay committed to the game plan. The Grizzlies have just done an excellent job here recently. 9 of 35 they allowed against the Hawks on three-pointers, 7 of 42 that they allowed against the Nets. Taylor Jenkins has done a good job of adjusting his strategy to allow for his players to have the freedom to do what they need to do to contest shots, disrupt passes, and just make life pretty hectic for the opposition on the perimeter. The Grizzlies are going to have to continue to do that. They're obviously going to have to do it tonight against the Mavericks. They're going to have to continue doing that against the Hawks. Looking at the game Monday night, you know, again, the big thing that stuck out to me was that the Grizzlies scored 127 points. They beat the Hawks by 39 points, again, without any one person scoring more than 20 points. In fact, the Grizzlies had five players off their bench score in double digits. It was a 72-point production night for the bench, and obviously that was the second most that the Grizzlies had scored, the most the Grizzlies had scored off the bench, you know, in the history of their franchise. So this team effort, this just overall team cohesion, it needs to continue. On defense, everybody needs to keep gelling. They need to stay disciplined. They need to rely on each other. And then on offense, obviously the goal is to continue, you know, playing quite well when it comes to being efficient on offense to make it make sense. But to end the show today, the other thing that I want for the Grizzlies fans and, you know, just in the NBA in general to really take in is just how awesome of a weekend it's going to be. Parker Fleming over at Grizzly Bear Blues wrote a really nice article in regards to Ja Morant and Trae Young. I also wrote an article earlier this week, but just really looking at the fact that, you know, last year when, you know, in the 2018 NBA draft, you know, the top five of the draft class in which you just had, you know, such a phenomenal array of talent. You know, the Grizzlies, while they did get Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously they fell a bit behind, though, in terms of the popularity, in terms of, you know, the hype, in terms of the excitement of having a franchise changer to the level of a Trae Young and a Luka Doncic. Well, now, 1 year later during the 2019 draft, it's the Grizzlies who get their franchise changer in Ja Morant. And now the Grizzlies arguably have a core that compares to any one of those teams, the Mavericks, the Hawks, the Pelicans, whoever you want to say it, whoever you want to compare them to. But the thing that I'm getting at is that the Grizzlies fans get a rare opportunity to see their young stud, their young superstar potential in Ja Morant go one-on-one against Luka Doncic, and then again go one-on-one against Trae Young. And it's on back-to-back nights. So the thing that I implore Grizzlies fans to do is that, you know, for years after the grit and grind era, you know, even while we were still making the playoffs, there still was the understanding that the Grizzlies just, they didn't have that star, that guy that can take over the game. Well, now we have that in Ja Morant. And for him to be able to face against the Doncic's and the Youngs of the world and really be looked at as having a clear either opportunity to win or that he should win, that's a wonderful thing to see. And so it's not only the playoff push that Grizzlies fans, you know, should cherish. It's not only, you know, the ability to see, you know, Ja Morant on a nightly basis, but it's the ability to see the Grizzlies go against other young cores and realize that the Grizzlies aren't at a disadvantage. The Grizzlies are actually there to compete, and they're expected to win in a lot of cases. So just being able to see back-to-back nights, some of the best talents over the past 2 years compete against each other. In the case of the Mavericks and the Grizzlies, it does have playoff implications. In case of the Hawks and the Grizzlies, it's seeing round two, what could be a generational point guard battle for years to come. So just, you know, over this weekend, just really hope that Grizzlies fans have the ability to really appreciate what they're seeing. Obviously, if we can go through the weekend and, you know, enter Monday with a 1-1 record, I think that would be wonderful. If it's 2-0, I'll be ecstatic. But the big thing is that beyond the playoff push, beyond the results of the game, for those fans in Memphis, and there's a lot of them who just enjoy basketball and just enjoy the NBA and just love seeing high-quality basketball played, you're going to get a lot of that. And the great thing is it's going to involve your Grizzlies on a big scale, you know, in games versus other young superstars where the Grizzlies are expected to hold their own and hopefully win a game or two this weekend. Again, I cannot thank y'all so much for giving me the opportunity, or excuse me, Mark King, for giving me the opportunity to come on and talk with y'all this week. You can find, again, my work over at Grizzly Bear Blues. I write over there pretty frequently under the name Stats SAC. That's also my Twitter handle. You can follow my podcast, the 3&D Podcast, on Twitter at 3&D Pod. Me and my co-host Justin Lewis do a weekly episode over there that usually comes out on Monday mornings. As always, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. Mark does a great job. He will be back next week. Don't forget the Monday mailbags. You can always send your questions to either Mark at King_producer on Twitter or at LockedOnGrizz on Twitter. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. Thanks so much for joining this week, and enjoy this weekend's games. Hopefully we'll have plenty of good things to talk about come back Monday here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.